Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Yes, this really is Rob Walter. I've got a little different voice today. I am battling and still battling. And I'm going to confine my good news today to one particular passage in Scripture, and that is, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I have been claiming this verse all week long. The fact that I'm even doing this program is a bit of a miracle. It just kind of went into the tank. But not all the way into the tank, or I would have put in another program. I don't like doing that. This is sort of like brushing my teeth. If I don't get to do this program, it just doesn't feel right. There's something kind of yucky. I don't know. But anyway, and you know, I was thinking earlier this morning, just before we get into a program where we're going to focus on one topic. I was thinking about, you know, growing up and the music that you, and you think about it in your own life, the music that you liked when you were growing up. And some of the favorite music would tend to be, not always, of course, but some of your favorite music was the stuff that you could almost sing fairly well yourself. I had a friend who had an incredible vibrato in his voice, you know, who, guess who was his favorite singer? Glenn Yarborough, who sang, it's kind of like an Indian chant, war chant, but the voice was so much vibrato. So he liked singing that which he could sing. And I had a pretty good falsetto. So as a consequence, when the Shy Lights came out, I could sing their songs. Frankie Valli, I could hang right with Frankie Valli on every song. The Beach Boys, when they'd go into their falsettos, those high notes, I could do that too. I love the music that I could sing. So I just want to let you know that today I have a new favorite song because I can finally sing it. Here you go. Old Man River, that old man river, that just, oh, forget it. You know what I mean? Because that's where I am today. I am singing from the basement, which means I'm also speaking from the basement. So please have compassion on me. I will try not to cough into the microphone. After 15 years, I have at least learned that much. But the program we're going to do today, I am not spending time, I just don't feel led to spend time on the impeachment process. It's just hammered all over the secular media on both sides. The left continues to lie and leak what they want to leak and then withhold that which might hurt their case. And it goes on. I don't have a place to weigh in with anything particularly insightful that would be unique to me, and nothing that I'm seeing just yet that I can make a complete biblical application to the process. Now, as we get near to the end, or certainly to the end, I think that will be, it will be clear. But right now, I don't. And the and what prompted today's program was a story, a development from early this week. I think it came out on Saturday, but I didn't read it till Monday. I don't think it actually hit the airwaves till Monday, which is the genesis of today's program. And I want to do this program while I still can, because I can guarantee you, I don't know how far away it is, 6 months, 6 years 16 years, I don't know. But I can guarantee you that if the United States continues to go the way that it is, which is the way England has gone, which is the way that Canada has gone, which is the way that every country that's just thrown the Bible aside and decided to chase after every wind of doctrine being tossed to and fro and simply hastening the coming of the Antichrist, I can tell you that within some period of time, the program I'm going to do today will be illegal. Completely illegal. The name of the program is called The Queering of America. The Queering of America, which is actually related to the queering of the world, which Barack Obama did a great job of exporting his queerdom. Of course, it took somebody with a measure of morals like Vladimir Putin to say, hey, don't you come over with your homosexual proselytizers here to Russia during the Olympics. Don't you do that, Jack. You know, I love that. I actually love the picture where Obama's patronizingly patting, I guess that is the way you would say it, Putin on the knee and says, you know, after the election, I'll have a little more flexibility. You can see in Putin's face, and this has nothing to do with racial things, you can see it in Putin's face. You just say, you slimy little piece of crap, get your hands off me. You can see it. That's what he's thinking. And he would think that about Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, it doesn't really matter. But I will tell you, what's going on in this country today is starting to make, and if you end up with Pete Buttigieg as the Democratic candidate, a guy who engages in sodomy, that which God calls an abortion or an abomination, that which is one of the scummiest activities you could possibly come upon, and it's biblically proven, and I will get to that we would go that far to have that as a candidate, shows you what a mess that we're in. And it actually will make Bill Clinton, if you got a guy in the White House who's fisting his male partner, it's going to make Bill Clinton look like the paragon of virtue and morality. We will start thinking, oh gosh, oh, for the good old days of Bill Clinton, and just as well, I'm not going to go into what he did. You know what he did. But the genesis of this program is Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, which you have probably read about, and they're battling over whether or not Chick-fil-A has really capitulated at all to the LGBT QRSTUVWXYZ agenda. People say, well, why do you say that? And I say, well, because every year there's another letter added to that moniker, because they continue to add debauched forms of behavior. They continue to add abominations. Certainly P will be in there for pedophilia. We'll have another B for bestiality. We'll have another P for polygamy. It isn't going to end. Why would it end? It's the direction that it's going. If you think that you can satisfy the homosexuals, you have another thing coming, and I will prove that today from the Word of God as well. So Chick-fil-A, as you may or may not know, decided to stop funding certain organizations, contending that they're going to go from 300 donations to down to focusing on three particular areas. But in the process, they cut out organizations such as a Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Salvation Army, and organizations that have been protested by the LGBT movement as being anti-homosexual, as being intolerant, anti-gay, as being the controversial policies of these organizations. Let me ask you, what is more controversial? Upholding biblical values or advocating the establishment and universal acceptance of sodomy on demand? Which one? Well, the left would say that, well, you know what the left says, because they're the ones saying it. The fact is, there is no balance whatsoever. Why, and I guess this is a good question, why could not an organization take a pro-traditional marriage position without taking all the crapola from the left-wing homos? Why could they not do that when you've got organizations like State Farm, Allstate? Now, you're not, if you're in good hands, I personally don't want to shake those hands. Wells Fargo, you want to know where that stagecoach is heading? That's in all their advertisements, heading to Brokeback Mountain. They were pushing queer marriage and queer everything when it was illegal. So why are they okay not being supposedly controversial, pushing that which is illegal, but now something that we can't push for something that actually is still legal, heterosexual marriage? And we're the controversial ones? You know, it's just, you know, don't expect the other side to understand you, folks. Don't expect them. Their eyes are blinded. They have vitriol and venom. They are out to destroy anybody who has the audacity to speak or say anything against which they would advocate. You know, what comes to my mind, actually, is an old quote. I really love this quote from John Wayne. He said, "I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you understand." I like that as he says that, and I think what movie it was, I don't know where he said it, but he's holding a lever-action Winchester 30-30 in his hands, I think is what he's got when he says that. "I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you understand." You see, we don't really have to give a rip or care about other people's feelings when all we're doing is speaking the truth. They can have their opinion. They don't get to elect their own set of facts. And what I have to say today cannot be fit into 1 hour. I could do 3 hours on this easily. But Chick-fil-A, because they had the appearance of capitulating as an organization which has held itself up and for which people, upon the Chick-fil-A protest by the queers, you had people lined up buying chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A to show their support. If, in fact, they have turned or started, and this is all that really matters, if they have started the turn to follow the crowd, it's over for that organization. And personally, until they do one particular thing, which I will get to later on, I will not support them. I will not buy. I mean, I'm fine, folks, with KFC. I'm fine with an organization that makes no pretense of any godly values, as opposed to an organization that has and then begins to turn away from them. Now, it's interesting that, you've got these towns like San Antonio. They wouldn't let Chick-fil-A come into their airport, claiming its record on LGBTQ issues. You know what? I don't want anybody from the San Antonio City Council coming to anything that I'm hosting. Keep those immoral weenies out of here. Let them go line up to do their thing with somebody else. Same with Buffalo. Forget those cities. I couldn't care less. I hope they just have a colossal financial implosions in those cities. I'm sorry. I just like to see, you know, the dust settle. This capitulation, which Chick-fil-A has tried to spin. And I have to say that I do not agree with Franklin Graham's attempt to kind of reinstate them as being the cultural, moral leader in the business world of today. I don't see that. And the fact of the matter is, if they have started a compromise, as you've heard me say before, compromise only leads to one thing: more compromise. Take a look at Cracker Barrel, which was lauded as a great, great company and blah, 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 and they sponsor the Grand Ole Opry and everything. Folks, 4 or 5 years ago, I had employees from Cracker Barrel calling me, pleading for help because of the homo-Nazis that began to run the HR division of Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel's cracked. I boycott them. Don't eat there anymore. Be right back. Don't go away. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio.
Well, hey, how are you? Welcome to Red Sky Radio. I am the tech guy, and consider this a PSA. I want to quickly tell you how you can get all the episodes. You can go to darkskyradio.com, Once you get there, go towards the right. You'll see on the menu page a Red Sky Radio tab. Click on that tab, and voila, there you are. There's a media player. You can go through and listen to all the past episodes. You can go through and download all the past episodes. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, what you'll find is a Google Play button. You can click on that and subscribe to this radio show via Google Play, or to the left, you can go to iTunes, and that button there will take you to a new page, the Podomatic page. You can subscribe right there and listen. You can scroll down on that page to the right and find the iTunes subscribe button. Thank you so much for listening to Red Sky Radio.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio discussing Chick-fil-A's apparent initial slight turn due to queer pressure away from giving to faith-based organizations that have had an open stand in support of biblical marriage and an open stand against queer marriage. This is the appearance. We're going to get to Franklin Graham's defense of them, and for all the respect I have of Franklin Graham, I think he's wrong, he's an error, and he's only listening to one party. But I want to get back to the issue of why compromise leads only to one other thing, and that's more compromise. For those of you who have actually listened to this program for the 15 years we've been on the air, it goes all the way back to when California passed, I don't know what initiative it was, but it was domestic partner benefits for 62-year-olds and older. And I warned then, I said, come on, folks, this is a camel's nose in the tent. They're not going to stop with this. They just got to establish a beachhead. They got to start somewhere. And a bunch of Christians and others say, well, you know what? Doesn't affect us. Doesn't affect our tax-exempt status. Who cares about 62-year-olds old and older? And who cares? I said, you got your head in the sand. It's going to come back to haunt you. Because within quick order, they then passed it for everybody. Then we moved on to queer marriage, queer adoptions, queer. There isn't, and now anybody who says anything against it in California, it's hate speech. And you know what? That's sort of true in one sense, which I'm going to get to later as well. Why there are certain things you really ought to hate, and you ought to be able to say it. Now, Franklin Graham's article. He said he was assured by Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy that the company remains committed to Christian values. Now, I'm going to quote liberally here from Samuel Smith, reporter for the Christian Post. So it appeared that they were, it says, after the fast food chain's charity arm decided to no longer donate to three organizations criticized for upholding traditional Christian beliefs on sexuality. Okay, now the Salvation Army treats everybody, but they can have their values, which they do. They oppose queer marriage, but they don't discriminate against what they provide for homosexuals that are homeless, that are hungry, and so forth. So I find it interesting that Chick-fil-A wants to narrow its focus to education, homelessness, and hunger. When Salvation Army gets cut out, and Salvation Army is about the only organization that covers two of those three areas. I mean, most of them are going to only cover one. Nobody covers all three. Salvation Army actually covers more than anybody else, and they have been cut out. You see, you can be committed in certain areas of Christianity. Kathy said, we remain committed to Christian values. Well, they may be committed to it, but they no longer have the guts to say it. You can be committed, in a sense, personally, morally, to a whole bunch of things, but if you were forced to take a position on it, which we'll get to, you may find out that they're actually not so committed. Not nearly so committed. That's a disingenuous statement, in my opinion, from Dan Cathy. Quoting Franklin, he says, quote, Dan was very clear that they have not bowed down to anyone's demands, including the LGBT community. They will continue to support whoever they want to support. They haven't changed who they are or what they believe. I got to stop there. Maybe they haven't changed who they are or what they believe, but they have changed what they're willing to say. And when you stop saying something, that's the first step toward not doing something. Says Chick-fil-A, going on with a quote, Chick-fil-A remains committed to Christian values. Dan Cathy assured me that this isn't going to change. I hope all those who jumped to the wrong conclusion about them read this. Well, Franklin, I love him to pieces. He stands up for a lot of things that his dad just didn't get around to doing. He's got a different calling. I appreciate him immensely. However, in this matter, he is wrong. As I said, you can say you haven't changed as to what you are and what you believe. But when it comes down to what you say, this is really the dividing line. This, it did not Jesus say, those who confess me before my Father in heaven, or confess me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven, and whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before the Father in heaven? You see, everything that revolves around that person's standing as a Christian comes down to not what they believe or who they are. It comes down to what they are willing to say. And Chick-fil-A is no longer willing to say what they say they believe. It's a first step that the queer bullies have pulled off another one. Now, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins says, quote, many people have fought for Chick-fil-A, and for them to capitulate to the bullies is betrayal. Critics labeled the organizations as discriminatory because they're anti-LGBT beliefs on marriage. So, end quote here. So, isn't it interesting that, and isn't it maybe, is it just a coinkydink that the organizations that have gotten cut out have in fact been open about being against queer marriage? Is that just pure coincidence? I don't think so. Now, the organization took this position because of the founder's belief, Truett Cathy, in traditional Christian teaching on marriage and sexuality. The company faced boycotts and condemnation from state and city leaders. And I need to add to that, and because of those boycotts and all the negative press, it actually brought Christians out to supporting this organization and making it the number three fast food chain in the United States in virtually record time. Now, I want to quote, in fairness to Graham, I'm going to give him a quote, which is absolutely a correct statement. He said, in my opinion, the gay movement would not ever be happy with Chick-fil-A unless they were open on Sunday, gave all their charitable donations to LGBTQ organizations, and flew the rainbow flag over their stores. Their hatred for Chick-fil-A is rooted in founder Truett Cathy's strong stand for biblical marriage values and his desire to honor God. End quote. He's absolutely correct. What he's missing is that what they're no longer willing to say is the beginning of the turn. The queers will not quit. They don't. They want you to stop hating them, but the time will come when they will force you to start supporting them financially, verbally, and then have everything done within your organization to help them really feel good about the sin that they're immersed in because they can't deal with it themselves. And none of us can deal with a sin, but they don't consider deliverance from Jesus Christ as even a possibility. No, they spend time trying to make Jesus queer, and with all the various plays portraying Jesus as a homosexual. My goodness, boy, if there's any time to be joyous over the death of the wicked, that would be it. Yeah, you heard me say it. It says that in Psalms. The righteous rejoice in the death of the wicked. We don't rejoice. I gotta pay some attention to this here, because the Lord says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yet Scripture also says the people rejoice or shout for joy when the wicked perish. Contradiction? Absolutely not. You see, God is not thrilled about the idea of somebody going to hell. He's not taking personal pleasure in saying, gosh, I've been waiting for this guy to go to hell and I'm going to just kill him now and get it over with before he's got a chance to get saved. No, he's long-suffering. Are we to be thrilled because somebody is in hell unless from the last fleeting seconds before death they got saved? Which I suppose is possible, but for the purposes of this explanation, we're going to assume it didn't happen. No, we can be rejoicing at the death of the wicked simply for one purpose, not because they're likely in hell, but because we have their wicked, evil influence removed. They're gone. It's relief. When a nation, the righteous nation, is where the people rejoice. When the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. That's biblical. I don't go around the second somebody dies and start high-fiving everybody, that somebody that's wicked. But I can tell you, I do not have a remorse over the death of somebody who has imposed and been an influential wickedness on this earth. I am happy for their removal, not for their destiny. And that is the difference. That's how you integrate those two seemingly contradictory passages. Okay. Well, anyway, Chief Operating Officer Tim Tassopoulos, this is what he said for Chick-fil-A. Quote, there's no question we know that as we go into new markets, we need to be clear about who we are. End quote. Can you believe this statement? Now, this seems okay on the surface, but I'm going to pick this sucker apart. Quote, there's no question we know that as we go into new markets, we need to be clear about who we are. Chick-fil-A, weren't you clear before? You have been very clear about who you were, who you are, who you plan to be all these years. So why do you need to be clear in new markets, liberal markets, California markets, queer markets, tranny markets? What do you need to be clear about? I thought you were already clear. Unless you need new clarity because your values are starting to change. Because you no longer have the guts to say what you say you believe. This is serious. Tony Perkins says, all those millions of people stood in line for hours to get a chicken sandwich. Just to stay, we stand with you and we affirm your right of free speech and right of religion and right of association. They have to feel deeply disappointed with this organization. I'm sorry, that wasn't Tony Perkins, that was Mike Huckabee. Well, these people have stood up in support of a company that may be on the verge of a moral implosion. They're just starting. Now, the company spokesman on Monday stated that no organization will be excluded from future consideration, faith-based or non-faith-based. So I want to make a couple of points here. The first one I've really already made. They say that nothing has changed. Nothing has changed about how they believe and what they stand for. But they have made a change on what they're willing to speak up about. And they have made the comment, as we go into new markets, we got to be clear. In other words, we need to finagle and rework our pitch because we want more corporate profits. The spokesman said, quote, no organization will be excluded from future consideration, faith-based or non-faith-based. Now, that should be and sounds like a reassuring statement. But for two things, first of all the non-faith-based organizations could be organizations that somehow in their charter are supporting queer marriage, abortion, and everything else. But Chick-fil-A wants to be seen on being on the culturally right side of things, which will cost them dearly. My prediction, short term, their profits will go up. They'll be energized to believe that what they've done was actually a good thing, and they'll go further to the wrong side. But if this is supposed to be a reassurance, it is not. First of all, yeah, they're not going to exclude faith-based organizations. But what they've said and made clear is that they are going to make, well, very possibly, certainly left open that they're going to exclude faith-based organizations that stand up for biblical marriage. You see, it's not just important what somebody says. It's important to what they don't to understand what they don't say. Remember John Wayne, I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you understand. But use discernment when you hear these things. And the more and two more telling points here. And I've got to move on with this piece, or I'm not going to get through everything today. And I'm struggling already voice-wise. This is really telling. Chick-fil-A has refused to respond to a question from the Christian Post. They answered all the other questions. But they refused to answer a question about whether or not faith-based organizations that publicly adhere to Christian faith's historic teaching regarding marriage will be included in future consideration. You see, this is the telling point. What do you have the guts to say, Chick-fil-A? What do you have the guts to say? They're refusing to say that faith-based organizations that teach a historic Christian viewpoint of marriage will be included in their giving decisions in the future. They won't say it. And why? Because they're too busy moving into new markets, and they got to be clear about who they are to all the queers in the new markets, lest they have too many protests at their Chick-fil-A. This is what Tim Tassopoulos said in its entirety. As Chick-fil-A expands globally and into more liberal parts of the U.S., the chicken chain plans to change which charities it donates to after years of bad protests and protests from the bad press and protests from the LGBT community. You see, Chick-fil-A has admitted that. They've been weighing heavily under all the bad press and all the protests from the queer community while their business profits skyrocket. But apparently is not good enough. Once again, there's no question we know that as we go into new markets, we need to be clear about who we are. There are lots of articles and newscasts about Chick-fil-A, and we thought we needed to be clear about our message. But wait a second. If these newscasts and articles and everything and protests have been correct in understanding that you support traditional biblical marriage, what needs to be further clarified, Chick-fil-A? All I would say is maybe it's time for Chick-fil-B to start up. Forget Chick-fil-A, start Chick-fil-B. And you know what? I even got a motto for them. I just say, we're number two, and we're not even trying that hard. Now, proof that the homosexuals will not quit. Will not quit. They will continue to pressure. Yeah, you've gone this far, but you haven't gone far enough. Now this is what we demand, because we need to keep having you move towards affirming our debauchery and our abominable, detestable behavior, lest we actually feel badly about our sins. I am going to give you biblical proof that they will not quit. That everything I started saying 15 years ago about this is just every piece of benign, seemingly benign legislation, which the conservatives will say, Allah, just give them this, it'll make them happy. Come on. You got leech and leech that you're dealing with, biblically speaking. There will never be enough. It is a bottomless pit of evil that will consume and suck out every bit of Christian vitality you have if you continue to yield to this, because there's no end to the demands. And I said, 12 years ago, I coined a term, hate silence. I said, the time will come when you'll be criticized for hate silence because you refuse to do the Heil Hitler to the queer movement and honor their debauchery. Now, here's the proof that they will not quit. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at eventime, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords, Turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he, being Lot, pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in to him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and baked them unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around about, both young and old, all of the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And know them means, if you have any understanding of Scripture, means so we can have sex with these guys. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, was mistake number one, he calls them brethren, do not do so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do to them as is good in your own eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for they have come under my roof, under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said, This fellow came in here to sojourn, and he now is a judge. Now we will deal worse with you, Lot, than with them. And they pressed upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men, meaning the angels inside, put forth their hand, pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they, the angels, smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the door. Do you hear that? Do you think that what will they stop at? These men, they're blinded by the light or whatever it is. They quote Manfred Mann's old song. Does that stop them in their wickedness? These guys are all blinded, and they still can only think about one thing: the satiation of their flesh, their satisfying of abhorrent, abominable, debauched behavior in sodomizing the angels. The homosexuals will stop at nothing. I've said this for 15 years, until you are in prison, you are dead, and you have been sued to be penniless. They're open about that. Every homosexual magazine that I've ever read an excerpt from has made it clear there's one thing they can't stand: those people who have been delivered from homosexuality and they're now married and they have kids. They can't stand them. They want them killed. They want them in prison. They want them sued so that they can't open their mouth, because it reveals that you can change. And because you can change, God can change you. That means that because they have not changed, they are now held accountable for their behavior. There's your proof right there. The old genetic lie. I don't want to spend time on this, but I still have somewhere, I didn't pull it out, the ridiculous article from about 11 or 12 years ago, that believing that there is an absolute basis in fact to a queer gene, which there is not. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's just another makeup thing, like the abortion thing. Oh, 75,000 back alley abortions when there are about 100. I remember that article. I got it saved. They said, will it be a hate crime to abort a baby in the womb that you have determined through some genetic testing to be queer? And you heard me right. That's what the queers were concerned about, was would it be a hate crime to kill one of their own that's in the womb? Because apparently now they're pro-life because they can hardly wait for this one to be born so they can go at it. Consider, 46% of all homosexual males, only the ones that admit it, say they were sodomized or abused sexually as a boy, as a child. I mean, this is gross. This is detestable. And you get to the book of Romans. If you don't read anything this week, read Romans 1. Romans 1 makes it very, very clear that there comes a point that when you no longer like to retain God in your conscience. There's a turning away of God, from God, that has consequences that are so severe. He said in Romans, let me just read a bit of it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, talk about your queer affirming pastors. We're talking about you guys. Yeah, you guys that not only do you not enter in, but you keep the flock from entering in. You're worthy of twice the judgment because you're twice the child of hell. I'm just quoting scripture. Sorry. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For the invisible things of him, the Lord, are from creation, are clearly seen. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. I really am not a guy. I'm really kind of female. That's changing the truth of God into a lie, folks. They've worshipped, served the creator, or the creature more than the creator, meaning each other. I mean, they idolize each other. I mean, I'll tell you, homosexuals have more sexual encounters than Rob Lowe in his best years. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. In other words, receiving the physical consequences of the depth and depravity of the sin that they've participated in, i.e. AIDS. Is AIDS a judgment? Sort of. It's a natural consequence of a very ungodly behavior. It says right there, Romans chapter 1, verse 27, they receive in their bodies the penalty for their sin. That's just what it says. The other point to be made here, these are men whose and women whose natural use for the other was changed. They weren't born queer. They were born heterosexual. I could never understand this one guy back in West Michigan. I understood he was married, had four lovely kids, and then he ended up shacking up with some queer guy, and then they claimed him that he's gay. Apparently, God gave him over to a reprobate mind. He changed the natural use of his body to that which is unnatural. And ultimately will receive in his body the consequences of his behavior. You know, I talked with a pastor not too long ago who was in his 60s, and he said, you know, I've counseled a number of homosexual people. I have yet to come across the first homosexual who was not abused as a child, man or woman. Not one single one. And the fact, so when I was approached at a place, we held church in a saloon in California a few years back, and a guy came up to me before the church as I was going into the saloon door. He said, hey, I don't really like your radio program. I said, why not? It's because you're anti-gay. I said, I'm just telling the truth. He said, well, I'm gay. And I said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not gay. He said, I am too gay. I said, you are not gay. You weren't born that way. You've been deceived. You've been lied to. Kind of turned into the five-year-old thing. I'm gay. No, you're not. I'm gay. No, you're not. But it ended with him saying, I'm not? No, you're not. And he turned, and he went away. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to find out what you ought to hate. Don't go away. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio. Be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Rob Walter, we are back with Red Sky Radio today. We're on a hot topic called the queering of America. I've spent the whole time on it. Like I said, I got to get this program out while it's still legal. What happens after that? I don't know. I don't care. But this program, send it along. I don't really care how people react to it. I'm used to people not being able to handle the truth, which comes down to hate speech. What is real hate speech? Well, the hate speech, I would say, is speech that I or you make that somebody else hates. As he said in A Few Good Men, the movie, the truth, you can't handle the truth. Well, hate speech is speech that has only the truth in it from my side. The hate is supplied by the other side because they can't handle the truth. They hate the truth. But there are some things we should hate. There's some things I do hate. Some things that I would be embarrassed if I didn't hate. I hate the fact that little boys are sodomized by queers. The 46% number I referenced a few minutes ago. And folks, that's the percentage that actually admit it. What's the real number? 56, 66, 76%? According to that one pastor, it's 100%. I hate the Boy Scouts capitulating on all these queer issues. And now you got some homosexual scout leader out in the forest on a camping trip with a bunch of 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds. I hate that. I hate all the sexual assault in the military. And yes, there are 12,000 sexual assaults by men against women. But what the press doesn't tell you is while there's 12,000 sexual assaults by men against women, there were 14,000 sexual assaults 2 years ago by men jumping men. Yeah, I hate that. I'm okay with that hatred. I hate all the disorder and the disease brought on by the behavior. I can't stand weenie Christians. I can't stand weenie Christians who can't stand. I guess that's a put. I can't stand those who can't stand. You got the mayor of San Diego. He's the big fake Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. He was against homosexual marriage, and his daughter came out as queer. And he said, "Oh, I love her too much. I support queer marriage now." What's his name? I can't even think of his last name. Sharon, the former pastor of a huge church out in Palm Desert. His son comes out as queer, and now all of a sudden he's left. He's with a queer church. In other words, these are supposedly godly people, pastors, whose theology revolves around and is formed by their sins and the sins of their children. So let me understand. So your daughter becomes a prostitute. Now, all of a sudden, the passage is dealing with prostitution are illegitimate or need to be redefined. So your son's a drug dealer. Now we're supposed to have this compassion for a dental. Well, you know what? We really ought to legalize drugs. There's no reason for them. Look, I got no use for, I can't stand weenie Christians who can't stand. Queer-affirming churches, not only do they not enter in, like I said, they become twice the children of hell that Jesus talks about. And they talk about the hate. I want to tell you who really hates queers. Those who affirm their behavior. Oh, that's good. That's fine. That's who you are. Just lovely and dandy. You go on and do all these things that are nauseating and sickening and abominable in the Word of God. Men doing that which is against nature. Against nature. Yeah, you just do that. You just die early. You get about 18 different diseases that heterosexuals don't get. Yeah, you have all these mental problems. Would you know what? We love you so much, we don't give a rat's rear end how quickly you die from your behavior, because we just want to be really liked by you, and we don't want to be seen as haters. Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot we should hate. There's no place. Schools will say, I just went past the school the other day, so there's no place for hate. I want to tell you, I don't want to be part of a school or any institution that doesn't know what should be hated. Some things need to be hated, and it's ungodly to not hate. So why should we hate certain things? Why is it because there's a lot to hate? Well, there are a lot of victims out there. And in every one of these cases, these people are victims. Why wouldn't we hate the things that produce victims? And why would we not hate those who are instrumental, knowing God's word, who preach unrighteousness, holding the word of truth in unrighteousness? Do I hate those individuals? Yes, I do. I do not pray for pastors who have turned their face on God, given them the fist, given them the finger, rebuked him. They know the way. I don't pray for them. I'd have no use for them. The sooner they're gone, the better. Sorry. That's just the way, that's the way I see scripture. Hard-nosed? Yeah, but because we haven't been hard-nosed, we're on a fast-track train to hell in this country. And who's at risk? Every single one of your children of formative years and grandchildren of formative years, because we don't have the guts to stand up. This is really serious, folks. Now, I have not gotten through what I wanted to get through, and I'm going to have to reserve some of this till next week. But what I'm going to reserve, you don't want to miss. Maybe you've had enough of this already, but that's kind of your problem. I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you understand, according to John Wayne, and for maybe what you don't want to hear. I'll add something to the Duke. But we're going to go on to a new level of analysis in this whole thing. You ready? I'll give you the clue. And you can do whatever kind of research you want to do. I'm going to give you one Bible verse and one comment, and we're going to pick up on this next week. It's just too important. The question I'm going to ask next week, is Satan queer? You say, oh, he's asexual. I've heard that. Is Satan queer? I'm going to give you one passage I would like you to read in Scripture. And I'm not going to say that this unilaterally, unequivocally declares him to be homosexual. But it's a passage that no one reads, because most people don't read the Bible, and a whole bunch more don't read much of the Old Testament. But you may know the passage, and God bless you if you do. And if you don't, I'm not trying to beat up on you. I'm trying to give you a chance so you can do some homework. I'd like you to read Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 and 37. It is a clear reference to the Antichrist. The Antichrist, who is imbued with the power and the spirit of Satan himself. And then we are going to cover why Satan really hates heterosexual marriage. And the fact of the matter is, the question may be more broadly expanded to not only is Satan queer, is Satan a pedophile? Is Satan, does he like bestiality? Who knows what it is? You can go into every form of debauchery you want. But why specifically he has targeted the sanctity of marriage, heterosexual marriage? It's an important topic. We're going to pick up on it next week. But I do want to just publicly thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for getting me through this program. My voice has, for the most part, held out. I am not having to use a cough button. I kind of turn away. I've only had a couple of them. I'm sucking on this cherry juice called Cherubundi. It's helping me. And I go back to that passage. I've been preaching it to myself all week long. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I think it strengthens us, but we can. When I am weak, I am made strong. When in my physical makeup, I can't pull it off, that's when the power of God is made manifest in me, in you, and every single one of us. Because there's nothing we can really do with ourselves, right? We can all do it. We can do all things through Jesus Christ. Through, not apart from. We may think we're alone. We may think we're an island. But the fact of the matter is, if we're on an island, we're on it with God. If we're doing it through the work and the power of the resurrected Savior who lives inside of us. This is Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall, America, and the world. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.